This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
You know, on any given day with any given show, I have a lot of material that I don't get to. And man, I tell you what, I almost buried something really, really big today. Sue, have you heard Gavin Newsom do a complete flippy floppy here on the trans sports issue?
What?
Okay, apparently this is real.
Like, you right now should come out and be like, you know what? The young man who's about to win the state championship in the long jump in female sports,
right.
That shouldn't happen. You as right. the governor should step out and say no.
No, and I appreciate.
But like, would you do something like that? Would you say no men in female sports?
Well, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that.
What?
So that's easy to call out, the unfairness of that.
Wait.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, this is with Charlie Kirk. That's the same guy, Gavin Newsom, we've heard for all these years.
And so the issue of fairness is completely legit. And I saw that the last couple of years. Boy, did I saw how you guys were able to weaponize that issue at another level.
Not weaponize.
Weaponize may be pejorative. You're right. But you were able to
shine a light on?
Highlight it.
No, he's not running for president or anything like that. Michelle Tafoya is back with us this afternoon, the host of the Michelle Tafoya podcast. That was rather fascinating, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I also noted he was very non-committal, because Charlie Kirk asked him, would you do that? Would you step out and say, and all he did was say, I agree with you that it's unfair.
Right,
I agree with
right.
you that it's unfair. But he did not commit to doing anything about it. So that was a really easy answer to give. But you're right. He's running for president. He understands this is an 80-20, at least 80-20 issue. And so he's taking the easy side of this issue, which it's amazing that more Democrats won't do that.
It really is. And, you know, look, he's slick and he is a wily politician. So it does not, you know, it does. Yeah, exactly. It's that puke emoji.
It makes me kind of nauseous.
It's like the emoji we have on our iPhones with the green puke coming out, right? That's kind of how I feel about Gavin Newsom, although he does have nice hair. But let's talk about this issue relating to, you know, the executive order and what happened at the speech the other night, because all these Democrats who in the Senate, not one of them, not even John Fetterman, Michelle, voted to protect women in sports. Here's Riley Gaines.
To see the theatrics, the performative, that's what it is. It's performance that we saw from them. Wearing all the pink to symbolize standing with women. Again, this party, the Democratic Party, could not be further from being pro-woman. They are anti-woman and they are anti-reality.
Now, I would expect, Michelle, that there are, you know, members of the Senate, maybe even from your state in Minnesota, that are a little bit more progressive, that would never, you know, dare to cross over like Gavin Newsom just did. But there are other members that aren't seemingly crazy, but not one of them stood up to do the right thing the other day.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Minnesota, too. I mean, both our senators are women, Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, and neither one of them voted for this. And also, the same day, there was a resolution in the Minnesota state legislature that they could not get a single Democrat, and they only needed one to pass this thing, They couldn't get a single Democrat in the House of Minnesota to vote to protect girls and women's sports. I mean, it's about safety and it's about fairness, period, the end. There's a reason we have two divisions. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Yeah. People know. But I think that was both of those votes, the one here in Minnesota and the one in the United States Senate, happened the night before Trump was going to speak. They did not want to hand him a victory. I'm convinced of that. And so there was massive coordination among Democrats, and Democrats stick together, which also tells you something, right? It tells you that they're more concerned about their party than they are about their own constituents. Because if they really listened to their own constituents in the cities and states they represent, they'd vote the way those constituents want them to. But they didn't. This was about politics and party.
Yeah, and to your point, the same thing is true on the border right now. I mean, these mayors go up there yesterday. I just played some awesome audio from Tom Homan, who was on with Laura Ingraham last night. But they go up there and they're trying to make the case that deporting violent migrants is making their cities, like Brandon Johnson says, that's making my welcoming city. That's the other thing, the language, Michelle. You've noticed the difference, right? It's not sanctuary. It's welcoming city. That's making my welcoming city more dangerous. Are you kidding me? Have you read the news in your city and what happens on a weekend basis and a weekly basis?
One of the unfortunate things about big cities, especially like Chicago, here in Minneapolis as well, I would say Los Angeles, although they're starting to open their eyes in LA, is that the real stakeholders are the people who work in those big cities that have businesses there and, you know, travel in to work. But generally, that massive number of people that travels into the city to work, to vacation, to eat dinner, whatever they're doing, they live outside of the voting area. So the voters within that actually live in the city proper are fewer in number. And for some reason, they are continuing to accept these horrible candidates. I mean, absolutely horrible. Brandon Johnson was a terrible candidate. They had a better alternative. They wouldn't go that direction. I don't know what it's going to take to break those voting habits. But you're right. There's the language aspect. Oh, we're a welcoming city, not a sanctuary city. And it's making us less safe and people are scared. Well, you know what? I can tell you about a bunch of people who are scared or who were scared as they were on the brink of losing their lives to some of these illegals.
Let me offer you from St. Louis a little hope. And I believe that this should be a national story, and maybe eventually it will be. But, you know, we had a situation with this prosecutor that became very well known, Kim Gardner, who was not doing her job. 60 Minutes came in here, gives a big, wet, sloppy kiss to her, acts like St. Louis is just racist for having any kind of criticism of someone who really was not legitimately prosecuting criminals, and it was unbelievable. So we get rid of her. We have an African-American mayor, Michelle Tashara Jones, first-term mayor. She comes in, you know, 4 years ago. She just finished a distant second in an election primary, and she did make it to the runoff. So in 3 weeks and 4 weeks, I guess it'd be 3 weeks from this Tuesday, she's going to square off with a member of the Board of Aldermen that is not exactly a conservative, as you might imagine. But this one-term BLM-supporting, you know, nonsense mayor who has not paid any attention to city services like trash and snow removal, she's going to get booted out here in St. Louis, and the voters are going to make a change, Michelle Tafoya. So that's encouraging.
That is encouraging. I hope it continues. It's hard to imagine how any American can look at the lack of true concern and care for actual issues that these Democrats have and continue to vote for them. I mean, we saw it with that speech the other night before the joint session. It was unserious from the side of Democrats. Trump said it perfectly. I cannot say or do anything that's going to make the Democrats happy. And so rather than look for ways to, make progress, and I don't mean in the progressive sense, but solve problems and come up with solutions and actually create things, all they do is this resistance, these theatrics. They look silly. They look foolish. And as far as I'm concerned, keep it going, because I'd like to see more Republicans win office. The people that are actually willing to take on the tough problems and find the solutions that aren't always easy, but they've got to be made.
So what would you say right now? Michelle Tafoya is back with us, the host of the Michelle Tafoya podcast, with Doge overall. You know, we've got situations, and one of the things I think some people might be bracing for, and I just predict this comfortably, there are going to be some people that are going to realize that maybe they have a family member, a friend, or maybe even a situation here in St. Louis that they may be affected. And there's federal workers that might be sacrificed that shouldn't be, and maybe those corrections will be made. But there doesn't seem to be any attempt on the other side, once again, to look at the benefits of, you know, pulling back on some of this spending, the benefits of, you know, addressing fraud, waste, and abuse and things like that. It's amazing to me that they're carrying with that narrative. Fetterman's been the outlier there saying, yeah, who would be opposed to this stuff? But they seemingly just want to go against Elon Musk and call him President Musk. They don't care about the spending, Michelle.
No, they don't, really. Honestly, if they did, they'd be looking for ways to contribute, like I said, but they don't. And so they're vilifying this guy. Look, Trump is going to be a one-term president here, or, you know, at the end of this term, he's done. And so they can't really attack him. He's a man on a mission. He doesn't have to worry about getting reelected. So they're attacking Elon. That's the first part. The second part is, when did it become that a federal job was untouchable? Like, so somehow,
right,
federal workers are so special and so important that no matter how many of them we keep hiring, we can't fire them. It's like teachers. You know, even if they're a terrible teacher, if they have tenure, they keep getting paid. This is silly. We're seeing ABC News lay people off. We saw Meta cut 4,000 workers. People like to look at this as, oh, this is evil, this is horrible, people are losing their jobs. Yeah, well, you know what? If they're not doing a good job, or their job is, you know, it's duplicated somewhere else and we can get by with fewer, we'd be absolutely, it would be malfeasance not to get rid of those jobs. Like, it's your money, people. Look at your pay stub. Look at your pay stub. If you got billed for all of these workers, if we enumerated for you on a piece of paper everything you're paying for, where your taxes are going, and then said, hey, thanks, can you pay this bill now? Because we think it's important to have, you know, trans musicals in Peru or whatever it is. I'm being facetious, but they're certainly out there. If you had all that highlighted for you, would you really want to pay your tax bill? Well, so, and if you find out that there are five federal workers for really every one that is necessary, would you want to keep paying for that? Of course you wouldn't.
It's outrageous. And the majority of the country is with them. That's why, you know, yesterday was amazing. Yeah. I hear all these pundits about, you know, the speech. The speech is too long. Jimmy Kimmel goes on and does blah, blah, blah last night. But then you look at the polling, the people who actually watch the speech, 36 million people, and they're on Trump's side on so many of these issues. Now, let me ask you about, because obviously there's uncomfortability with a lot of people, maybe even on the right, on the Ukraine situation. What I saw last week, I loved. And I didn't love it because I don't want the U.S. to, you know, play some sort of role in forcing Putin in the situation with Ukraine. But again, it's an issue of resources. And we're pouring a lot of money into something that's not working. I don't believe that this war is winnable, Michelle. I don't know that you do. So why would you continue to pour money down something that doesn't have a chance to win?
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the calculation that people need to make. And it, you know, Biden and Kamala just kept saying, we're with you for as long as it takes. What does that mean, really? 5 years? 10 years? 50 years? Because the way they were going, they weren't helping enough to totally overcome. They wanted to avoid World War III, obviously. So they didn't want to get involved militarily. So we're just going to keep dumping money to you in a losing effort? No, if you want peace, there's someone there that can broker the peace. Was that a an uncomfortable moment in the Oval? Yeah, but I would say it was uncomfortable for two reasons. One, you saw the president and Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance getting irritated with this guy. And two, this guy was acting like he deserved and was entitled to everything America can offer. And so I think it was really, I think people were really split. But the more they really looked at it, and the more that they saw that what's trying to happen, you know, it's from the art of war. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So people like to say Trump is cozying up to Putin and giving in to Putin. I would say quite the contrary. I would say he's keeping his enemies closer, and he's trying to get a situation where peace can return. And so if you're not going to win this war, Zelensky, then you need to find a way to peace. And that's going to require some give and take.
Michelle, what is hot on the podcast? I see you have Jay Johnson. He's an actor. I think a lot of people might know his name, not know his name, or, you know, maybe even his face. But he's been a big character on Bob's Burgers. I think he was in, you know, Mr. Show back in the day as well.
Yep, he was. He was in Anchorman, and he hasn't worked in Hollywood since January 6, 2021, because he happened to be at the Capitol.
Oh, my.
And when you hear his story about what he's been through, and that, and every back that's turned on him because he was there, he wasn't wearing horns, he wasn't sitting in the speaker's chair, he was barely inside the building at all, and his life has been ruined. And look, I was agnostic at one point on January 6th. I was like, it was a thing, it happened, I don't know. But I've talked to enough people now. Siaka Massaqua is another one. He's another actor who happened to be there. And what they've been through for really not doing anything is revealing. And people should listen to their stories, too. We got really one side of the story when that committee put up their little television production. It's important to listen to these other people.
I believe that. And look, I was outraged by what happened, what I saw on January 6th, and I remain outraged. But I also know, and Julie Kelly's been really good at highlighting some of this stuff, there were over-prosecutions, and there were people that were treated unfairly. I don't know Jay's story at all, so that's fascinating. And that's the latest episode of the podcast, right?
Yeah, that one dropped today. Every Wednesday, we have what we call Wild Card Wednesday, and this week was a lot of fun because we took that speech from the joint session, and we broke it down and gave you the highlights, reacted to the highlights, and we threw in a bunch of other stuff, too. We like to go through tons and tons of clips and then bring it down to a manageable number and show you the highlights from the week, or at least from the – now it's no longer about a week. It's about like the last 2 hours, because news breaks at breakneck speed. So the minute you think you have a great clip to show everyone, something bigger and more interesting has happened.
Well,
but we do that every Wednesday. It's a lot of fun.
Nothing against the podcast world, because I understand that I'm old media. But that is one advantage, you know, to live radio these days, because to your point, things do happen so damn fast. You know, I opened the show today, and we look up, we got this guy, I'm sure you've seen Will Scharf signing the executive orders. He's a Missouri guy. He ran for attorney general here, so we know Will. And I look up at the screen as, you know, the clock turns to the start of my show, and I just dip into the questions, because you just never know what you're going to get with Trump. So we take the Q&As a lot of times live, because they're pretty good.
They are. I mean, that's one thing. This president is pretty entertaining. He's so transparent. He's going to just be straight with you. Even when he gives a non-answer, it's entertaining. But, you know, he is people who thought at one time, if ever they think this guy's stupid, they don't get it. He is wily. He is clever. He is smart. He is savvy. And more than anything, he has a spine like no politician I've ever seen.
Well, that
and
we
that's
know.
What this country needs.
That we know to be true for sure. Michelle Tafoya, always great to have you on. I'm going to check out that latest edition with Jay in the podcast. I did not know the backstory, so that sounds fascinating.
Yeah. I hope you do. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Michelle Tafoya. Check out the Michelle Tafoya podcast. We're coming back with Gene Evans. We'll talk about getting rid of the Department of Education. Will that happen?
Get more at 971talk.com.